All right, welcome to the Improv Save My Life podcast, brought to you on Bits, the Boston Improv Talk Station. I'm your host, Tom Boyer. I am joined today by two members of Cuddle Party. We have Ashley Voltz. how are you doing?
Great. I'm doing great. How are you doing, Tom?
I'm all right. And Chris Coffin, what's going on?
I'm good, man.
Cool. All right, so basically this show, just kind of get the backstory of where you grew up and then how you got into improv and whatever else just comes up. Cool?
Sweet.
Awesome.
Sounds great.
So I'm going to start with you, Ashley.
Do we have to? Let's start with Chris.
Okay. No, let's start with Ashley. Ladies first.
It's going to be a Bugs Bunny thing.
Yeah.
Where are you from originally?
Charlottesville, Virginia.
What?
Represent the kind of South.
How did you live there for the majority of your life?
Yeah. I was born in New York, and then my parents moved there when I was 5, and lived there till I went away to college, and then eventually I moved up here.
How is Virginia?
It's pretty.
Yeah.
That's, like, probably what I miss most about it. It's pretty.
Did you go back there at all?
Yeah, my dad and my brother still live there. I still have friends there, so... Cool.
And then you moved to New York for school?
No, I went to school in Northern Virginia at George Mason, and then afterwards I stayed up there.
I didn't know that.
Really?
That's a fancy school.
Look at us learning things about each other. Yeah, that's cool. I stayed up in Northern Virginia after college for about 5 years, and then all my friends started getting married, popping out kids, and that sort of thing. I was like,
"Oh, that goes.
F this shiz, I'm out. That's horrible. If I stay here, I'll probably get sucked into that.
That horrible life.
That horrible life of being married with kids and living in Northern Virginia strip mall country. So I had some family up here, so I just kind of moved up here right when the economy crashed. Was unemployed for about a year and a half.
I didn't know that either.
You know, I quit my job by myself because I was just frustrated with it in 2007, right before the economy crashed.
Oh, boy.
And then, literally, like, maybe a month before, and I was like, I'll get another job. I was good at this job. I had a lot of experience. It was not easy to get a job.
It was a nightmare. Yeah. I was living on my aunt's couch with my mom and my cousin. All three of us were unemployed at the time because of the economy.
You had a fight over who watches Judge Joe Brown or One Life to Live.
I used to record like Gossip Girl on their DVR, and my uncle would get home and he'd be like, "What is this shit? What is this on my DVR?" And he's like kind of half kidding, but not really. So I still like to tease him about how much he secretly loves Gossip Girl.
Who was the Gossip Girl? Was it Blake Lively?
No, I think I didn't watch it to the end, but I think it turned out to be Penn Bagley.
I didn't really.
Bagley?
So you didn't know while you were watching? Like, it was a mystery?
Yeah. Someone on the show is supposed to have been gossiping about everyone, and
like was she like a blogging about people?
Yeah, I guess it was like a blog, and there was the voice of Veronica Mars, but she didn't turn out to be the actual Gossip Girl. Turned out to be some dude, which didn't make any sense. It's like watching a time travel movie and like, or like a killer movie, and then you find out who the killer is and you trace it back. You're like, that doesn't even make. Why would he have done this? He was alone when we saw him do this.
It usually happens like if an actor gets fired or something, and they're like, oh, well, we have to wrap this up somehow. So,
I never watched it at the end. Let's discuss something not Gossip Girl related.
My listeners want to know. I bring it up every episode.
No, good. Gossip Girl is a common theme.
Yeah, I've never watched it, so I'm finding this quite interesting.
It's not that interesting.
I think Blake Lively is quite attractive. So
there's a lot of attractive people on that show. It's kind of the point of the show.
Yeah, I think she married Ryan Reynolds.
Yep.
Who dated Alanis Morissette before that. I don't think so.
They
might
be.
Yeah. I thought Jennifer Garner and Ben Affleck.
I thought they were gonna make it.
If they can't make it, who can?
If they can't make it, everyone's getting divorced. Sorry, Chris.
You're such a beam of positivity today.
Love is real.
All right, so lived in New York, came up here for school.
No. After Northern Virginia for school, I just came up here because.
You just want a different city.
Yeah.
Cool. And well, how'd you end up here? Did you just pick Boston randomly? Or
I have family here.
Oh, cool. And did you do improv in college?
No. I did theater in high school.
Ooh.
And then...
Which plays were you in?
It's not interesting. Nobody cares.
Yes.
High school theater is the most boring topic of conversation. I did theater in high school. I was not particularly good. And then...
What was your biggest role in... It was, like, regular theater?
It was both. I'm not a very good singer, though, but I would get, like, chorus, get a lot of chorus roles.
Nice.
Rocking them chorus roles. And I guess my favorite dramatic part would have to have been Betty in The Crucible. If you're not familiar with that character, she... arguably the most important character in The Crucible. Spends 90% of the play
Is that
asleep.
Shakespeare?
No.
I tried.
You tried.
I tried to look smart.
You tried. She's asleep for 90% of the...
Is
so I just
Thoreau?
Lay on the stage.
You were laying on the stage.
And would
like
periodically wake up and scream. I actually got cast, fun fact, in several different plays based on my ability to scream loudly and in a terrifying manner.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
That doesn't
so, you ever see Say Anything, the movie?
Yeah, the John Cusack film?
Yeah, so there's a point where she's on the plane. She's terrified of being on the plane, his girlfriend. And she explains that when she was a kid, she was so terrified, and there was a voice recorder like guy that he was like horror soundtracks, and he recorded a scream, and she
became... Oh,
yeah.
That's right.
Was that you?
It was. That character was based on me.
So you weren't into theater after...
Oh, I wanted to get more into it in college, and then I took a couple classes my freshman year and realized I hated theater people. And so I quit. I'm sure adult theater people are better. I know like some adults who do theater and they're fine, but like when you're in that transitional part of your life where you don't really know who you are yet and you're trying to maintain a large ego and a self-esteem problem all at once, you're pretty insufferable.
It's pretty easy to pick out the people with theater backgrounds just watching them on stage. They almost have an advantage just because of stage presence and whatnot. And a lot of, like, is that Kate McGordy King?
Yeah.
Like, amazing singer, you know, like,
yeah.
That's a good thing to have up your alley, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I wish I could sing. Thanks for rubbing it in.
She is the director of Cuddle Party.
Oh, yeah, Kate
related
is the director.
Fact.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
She's going to teach us to be better singers.
Yeah.
You hear that, Kate? Ashley would like to be a better singer.
No, it's funny that you mention it because I think that was the first thing when she started with us, one of the first things she asked us was, do any of you have theater backgrounds? And all of us wholeheartedly did not raise our hands. And she's like, you're at a total disadvantage at this point.
Yeah, I can see it. I love musical improv, too. And I can sing if I know the song, but like trying to make up a song, because I do kind of like a bluesy type thing for the most part. Like, that only works with a certain type of music.
You can't count on it to be bluesy every time.
Yeah.
So how'd you get into improv?
I always wanted to, and then yeah.
Like what? I guess where did you see it first? Like Whose Line or at college?
Yeah, when I was a kid, I used to watch Whose Line. Is it all the time? And me and my brother's friend would pretend we were on the show and play games, and my brother would sit in the corner and pout and call us idiots and whatever the... I don't know what the...
Good fuck him.
Slang, what the good insults were back in the day. But, yeah, he was pissed that I took his friend.
That was whack.
He's like, it's my friend. You came over to play with me. I'm like, no, we're playing Whose Line Is It?
Nice. So did you start at IB and take classes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You went through the whole program?
Yeah.
Nice. How'd you find that experience?
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like taking classes. I wish they offered more. I've taken the musical improv and the short form class. I don't know. I think it's helpful to continue to take classes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went to the IA Training Center, and then I took level one at IB, and I took a break.
level one was tough to get through again. Not tough, like...
Here's right. a cat. Thank you. I like cats.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
And no, I don't mean any disrespect to Ivy, but even, like, doing the graduate, they just gave us, like, maybe 2 minutes at the most in very structured games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm just getting started at 2 minutes, you know?
Right.
But I'm in 301 now, and it was cool.
Sweet.
So how did Cuddle Party come about?
I'm not a founding member. It's like, I don't have the origin
it's
story.
Actually a university at this point. We're fucked.
Chris, were you a founding?
I was, yeah. Yeah. So Cuddle Party started with yeah, it's like any other indie group, right? It was like five or six of us that had been taking classes at IB throughout, and after 601, everyone kind of looked at each other and said, well, you want to do something? And Ben Moser at the time, who was one of the originals, was all about doing the deconstruction with a group. And so he really wanted to do that, so we got a group together. And that was like our sole focus for probably a good year. But we had a ton of transition, just like any other indie group, right? We lost people, added people, and the group that we have now is kind of, we've been together for over a year now.
Yeah.
I enjoy your guys' sets quite a bit. I said it at bait, but it always looks like you're having fun, you know, which is cool, and I think it's important. You guys won your qualifying round.
Yeah.
That's
cool.
Yeah. That was awesome. Woo-hoo. It was fun.
Yeah, you guys had a good set.
Thanks.
Well, we had some good short form. Our long form was a bit weird.
Yeah. The 10 minutes is a weird...
It's a weird amount of time.
It's a tough time. In particular for us, some of the stuff that we're doing is kind of a mix of kind of Harold deconstructionists and then freeform. And so 10 minutes is like that perfect amount of time where we can explore these... kind of intellectual concepts and then play with them for like a minute and then boop, we're done. And it's
yeah.
like, what the hell would
what
was
that?
They, what were they doing? Mike Cox came up with the structures and the pacing,
yeah.
but my set with Monotone...
First of all, I would just like to interrupt here and say that game of 185 was the best thing I've ever
that
seen.
That was awesome.
I literally peed my pants a little bit. Like, I'm not... I say that for the world to hear. I urinated in my pants a little bit.
Thank you. It was bizarre.
I mean, you were up there for 5 minutes, and I think you each got two 185s out because the
yeah.
setup was so long. And then the joke was like,
it's beautiful.
We don't like wolves, they shed...
I don't know. We were just talking about. We were practicing the back for a little bit, and she did this thing where she kind of did a funny voice for like whatever the suggestion was. I'm like, we should do that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, don't just tell it as like, you know, a straight up thing.
No, you
yeah.
just took the game and you were just like, fuck this game. Let's play it big like this.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That was awesome.
But for the 10 minute portion, we do a mono scene, so. That actually worked pretty well, but we just had to... We stage paint, usually,
yeah.
which we did, but we had to be like, this is this, this is
yeah.
this. And then we do, like, a quick character descriptions. We were, like, probably 3 minutes in before we got our scene started.
Right.
Yeah.
But, like, those are things... It's cool to have those challenges, too.
It
like,
is,
see
yeah.
if you can figure out a way to work them out. So you guys will be in the finale on August 27th. We'll have... just to talk about that for a second, we got some really good judges, and we got some other stuff planned... whoever wins gets a showcase spot at IB.
Oh, is that? I didn't know that was.
And a trophy and a T-shirt.
What T-shirts?
Raised.
Oh, I wasn't even sure I was going to be able to be there, but now I'm going to make sure I could be there for that T-shirt.
So this won't be audience voting. This will have a panel of judges. we'll have Rachel Klein.
Okay.
Mitch Whitaker.
Okay.
Tony Pasifume from IA
nice.
And Joe Gels from E Riot.
That
nice.
Guy.
Yeah.
Sweet. Those are the people we have to start bribing.
It's good to know in advance.
Cool.
Which is also weird when you're participating in a tournament that you're hosting, because I'm like.
Yeah, that's awkward.
Luckily, people brought people so it wasn't, like, slandered, because they might have just been like, oh, we've seen this guy all night.
Yeah.
Let's throw him a vote.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And then with, like, we came in second on the, my other team came in second on the first night, and we're doing, like, a, not round robin, for the four teams that came in second, yeah, we're doing a, like, we're just draw two random teams, but I'm like, gonna look shady if my one team gets picked, but whatever. I'm telling you, it's on board, on the level.
You heard it here first, it's rigged.
So, Chris, where are you from?
I was born and raised in South Dakota, which I love to say because most of the time when I say that, they're like, I never met anyone from South Dakota.
Is there a big, no offense, as a South Dakotian,
yep.
Is there a big difference between South Dakota and North Dakota?
I am incredibly offended.
That's a good question. That is a good, I don't know that.
This might be more offensive. I think of the Dakotas as just being like plains where like, this is the,
they are the Great Plains.
Are they flat? They're all flat everywhere?
Yes.
I don't know.
That's me.
Yeah,
I picture like those straw buckets that seem to naturally occur.
What is a straw bucket?
You know what I'm talking about? Like bales of straw, and you just see tumbleweed.
There it is. Yeah, that's what you. I like straw bucket though.
I always see in movies and like these. You'll see like a desolate like stretch of highway, and then you'll like there'll be one of those will blow by.
It'd be more like I've seen that actually happen, and that happens like in Nebraska and Oklahoma, so further south. There's not a lot of tumbleweeds in South Dakota.
Two deer in Dorchester recently crossing.
That's odd.
And it was odd. And I've lived in Dorchester my whole life. I didn't even know there were deer in Dorchester. I don't know what their business was there.
Yeah.
They had a meeting.
So there's, like, there's a highway on ramp that goes, like, there's a marsh and kind of just swamp land basically on the other side. And they were crossing casually. It was a mother, I'm assuming mother or whatever. Yeah, because it didn't have the giant horns.
Yeah.
And a little baby deer. And they were taking their time. And, like, and you're not going to beep at a deer. Like, just do what you got to do.
Why not?
I would beep.
I would. I totally beep. Yeah.
I would beep at a baby.
Get the fuck off the road.
Beep at a deer.
Beep at a baby.
Get that baby out of the road, you know?
Yeah.
That's a good point.
We actually, I was riding with my mom home from Sioux Falls when I was in high school, and we actually got hit by a deer.
Didn't hit a deer, the deer
hit you. No, the deer hit us. We're driving, and all of a sudden, like, the car, like, shakes, and we slam on the brakes, and I, like, go out, and the driver's side door where I'm where I was driving is totally dented in, and the deer is laying in the ditch, and I'm thinking, like, great, you know, because the back end of the deer was still on the road, and so in that scenario, you're actually supposed to call, like, the highway patrol so they can, like, move it off so someone doesn't hit it and it cause an accident. So I'm, like, worried that this is going to be a whole thing, and so I'm walking towards it, and all of a sudden it just pops up. It's like, it looks around and then runs away.
Did you think it had to snap its neck?
Yeah, I was picturing you, like, straddling it, like, Long Kiss Goodnight style. And
Yeah, that's a South Dakota thing.
Yeah, actually. I figured you all know how to do that.
Yeah. And you cut it open, you use it to sleep like a sleeping bag.
Did you know Chris is an assassin?
I can believe that.
Probably shouldn't put that on the podcast, but he's definitely an assassin.
We'll bleep the name.
Yeah.
Right. Perfect.
I went to the New Jersey Six Flags before they had a New England Six Flags with my parents. Like, I think it was like the last vacation I went with them.
Okay, you said that with my parents.
Well, I think I might have been like a senior in high school and like, this is kind of silly, but I'm still into this stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
I'd go.
Yeah.
I'd go.
So they have, at the time, it may have changed since then, they had the biggest safari in the world outside of Africa, like, as just a separate park, but we went to check it out, and there's two paths. There's one, the regular path that you get to see all the animals, and there's the monkey bypass road, where you won't see the monkeys, because the monkeys will attack you. And, like, every couple, like, I'd say every half mile, you'd see a sign, like, take the monkey bypass road if you don't want to see the monkeys may fling feces at you.
Oh, God.
So I'm like, fuck yeah, let's see this, you know?
Obviously.
But the monkeys didn't do shit. The monkeys are just like, get out of here. You're in our habitat, you know?
So disappointing.
Yeah.
But what are those ostriches? Those giant birds?
Yeah.
They were fucking around. they were trying to eat our side mirrors.
Oh yeah.
I wanted them to floor it, but you're only supposed to go like 10 miles an hour through this thing. I'm like, and they were just looking in the car. They're huge. Like, I was never scared of ostriches until my trip to Six Flags. And now, like, if I encounter one in the street.
Which happens all the time.
Yeah.
All bets are off.
You cross the other side of the street.
Yeah, quickly.
And you see an ostrich.
And it's very judgmental. Because kind of most,
it's a little racist.
Most ostriches are cool, but, you know, there's some bad. It must have come out of bad eggs.
Yeah. Nature versus nurture, you know what I mean? Good pun, though.
Thank you. All right. Enough about ostriches, unless you have ostrich stories.
I don't know.
What is the difference between North Dakota and South Dakota?
There's not a lot of difference. You know, so Sioux Falls, and you got Sioux Falls and Fargo. They basically are the same city. Fargo's in North Dakota, Sioux Falls is in South Dakota. Those are the two largest cities. They're both on the east side of the state. The west sides of the states are, like, totally different. So it's, like, farmland, and then west side is kind of ranchers, you know.
Ranchers hate each other.
Yeah. Ranchers, and then the Black Hills. So it's like, yeah, it's very different.
Racist. at one time, were they just Dakota and they got split?
No, I think they were always separate territories.
I would feel cheated. Like, give us our own identity, people.
Yeah.
I don't want to be one of the Dakotas.
Right. Yeah, I don't know.
A lot of Dakota talk, trash talking on my behalf. I'm sorry.
It's fine.
I really have no beef with the Dakotas.
Yeah.
Nobody has actual beef. Nobody's ever even been there. Yeah. It's like, yeah, I've heard of those states.
Yeah, Chris has.
Yeah. That's why he's so cool.
That's right.
So how, we didn't get very far. How long did you
fuck
live?
The Dakotas.
How long did you live in North Dakota? South Dakota?
Jesus Christ, Tom.
Doesn't matter. I'm going to go
piss on the Dakota's flags after this.
Who even knows what they are?
Yeah.
I don't even know what the Massachusetts flag is.
Yeah. I was born and raised there. Lived there until high school. Went to school. Went to college in Iowa. Went to college in Nebraska, in Omaha, which is like, it's funny, it's always like a one little step up. Like, Omaha was the big city of Nebraska, which, you know, it's still a decent-sized city, but it's a small town. You know, like, the feeling of it is a small town. And then ended up in Minneapolis for graduate school.
Did that seem like a big... And it's relatively big, but...
Yeah, the Twin Cities was, like, the first, like, legitimate city that I felt like this is a, like, true city. Tons of culture, tons of arts, tons of just cool stuff. Yeah.
Cool. How'd you end up this way?
Job.
Yeah.
Yeah. My wife and I were we both are Midwest. You know, she was born and raised in Minnesota. And we were kind of like, all right, well, if something pops up. And so we kind of had a list of cities that we'd consider living, and Boston was in it. And I got a job opportunity, and it seemed like a really cool thing. And so, yeah, came out here.
Had you been doing improv at any point?
I hadn't. My wife actually had. She had done several classes in Minneapolis.
Does she do it now?
She does, yeah. So that was something, it was funny. When she did it in Minneapolis, I was just like, that's your thing. No interest. And in fact, I was very much annoyed by the improvisers. Like,
so annoying to hang out with us.
Oh, God. Yeah. But now I'm one of them. And it's still annoying.
Still hate all of you.
No. It was just one of those things. Like, I just didn't get it, right? And I was more, you know,
emotionally available back then. And then you realized you wanted
you
to be
about?
Emotionally stunted, and you thought you tried comedy.
Yeah, maybe that was it. It was one of those things. Like, I just wasn't really into it, and. But then I came out here, and my wife took a class at IB and met all these cool people, and I realized, like, this is an awesome way to actually meet people. And so I really had no real aspirations other than just take a class and see how it goes. And I took my first class, and I loved it, and met some really cool people. You know, like Danielle and Ben, I think, were in my first class, 101. And after that, it was, you know, it was like, totally hooked, you know, went through all the classes at IB and started doing one-off shows and different things like that.
Nice.
Yeah.
And you're married. Do you have any children?
No.
I don't think I've met your wife, right?
Probably not. Beth, fiery, redhead. That's the way I would describe her.
I love you, honey. Name.
Why are you giving me that look?
Oh, no, you said that. You know, my fiery redhead of a wife.
She's a firecracker. She's very...
real fire. Are you from the 50s?
Come on. Oh,
man.
My Buick.
She's got gams for days.
No, she's great. She's
I just didn't know if she had been in any shows that I would have been.
So she's in Comedy Sports. She's now in...
Idiot
Box with Ashley. She did a bunch of classes at IB and then took some time off and then actually left Comedy Sports for a little bit because she was really stressed at work. But now is back doing Comedy Sports and doing little things here and there.
Is it tough for you to find balance? Like, I'm sure you just want to see each other in a non-improv related way, but like you have shows these nights, you have shows these days. Both work, you know.
Right. Yeah, no, it is. It's definitely a juggle, balancing act. But, it's gotten to the point where we have to, like, a lot. Like, okay, this is a night where we're going to, like, not do any comedy stuff, and we're just going to hang out, go have dinner or whatever. So, all of our friends, it's funny, because, like, all of our friends are now, a lot of our friends do this, and... So even if we're not in shows, we're going to shows to support other people, and I don't know.
No, that's cool.
I can't think of...
Chris and Beth Kaufman are, like, my relationship idols.
I was just thinking, like, I think I would estimate 80% of improvisers are probably single, you know.
Or constantly in flux of being broken up with because they don't have enough time for someone.
Yeah.
sounds familiar.
I think it's probably better situation that you both do it and kind of, you know, relate to it too. Whereas if you just have somebody that's not into it at all,
right?
Like, where are you going tonight?
Yeah, yeah.
Improv again. All right.
That stupid thing. Yeah. So like the way Chris was back in Minnesota.
Yeah. No, I mean, I didn't mind it back then. It was just. It was always, like, the after the show hanging out at the...
All the bits.
Know, the pub. Yeah, that's what it was. It was all the bits. And I didn't... You know, half of them were inside things from the show that I may or may not have seen, or if it was a rehearsal, I wasn't there. So it was just, like, all of that stuff. I have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
I still feel bad, like, every once in a while, somebody, like, I know will come out to support that's never seen improv or something before, and then we'll go out afterwards with, like, the group, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a lot of, like, they have no fucking clue
really
or interest in what we're talking about. But they try. Like, what? You know?
Yeah.
And then we try to, like, steer it away. But then we're
it
like,
doesn't work.
That's not what we don't want to be talking about you.
It's always easier if they don't come out afterwards.
Yeah.
I'll be like, oh, you guys, it's so late. Sorry, my show is so late. It ended so late. Do you want
to... We have like an orgy we're going to.
We gotta get notes from the show. And oh, it's going to be, ugh. Let's just do brunch tomorrow. Bye.
Yeah. I think it depends. I have some friends that are like totally cool with it, and we'll just ride with it, and they love it.
Some people are blown away by their first improv show, and they want to find out more about it.
Right.
But then I'm always, I always second guess everything. I'm like, are they just being polite? Like,
right. Yeah.
You know? Do you guys have any projects outside of Cuddle Party and improv, or any, I guess, passion projects? Maybe not even involving improv.
I have a passion project that I recently decided I will be starting soon. And I will be writing the a musical version of Roadhouse.
I just thought of a similar thing.
Everyone
what?
Loves this idea.
You can't take her idea.
No,
steal my idea, Tom.
I love this, though.
Alan McRae already threatened to start a rival one because I wouldn't let him have the party one.
I'm in if you're looking for anybody.
So many bouncers we need.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Cool.
Coolers. Am I still
that's such a great movie. Just Sam
Elliott.
Sam Elliott. Patrick Swayze at his best.
That is prime.
Yeah, I'm going to start growing my hair out.
Yeah, start get that mullet going.
I think, and I used to drink a lot.
I used to also, last night.
I think if that was my local bar that I was into, and that kind of riffraff just started coming in all the time, where they need to, like, physically be literally thrown out of the place,
yeah.
And there's, like, a big ninja fight happening in the bars,
yep.
I'd be like, maybe I'll just try the bar down the street.
Yeah.
wouldn't it seem even more appealing if, while the riffraff is getting thrown out of the bar, there's a musical number
about
how it's my way or the highway? Yeah, Jeff Healey.
And he's blind, too.
He's blind. He's going to be played by Connor. Garrison, he doesn't know it yet, but he's played Jeff Healey of the Jeff Healey Band.
Pickles.
Yeah, I've got it, like, half-cast. We have, like, one half of a chorus written for a song.
So, I was watching Footloose the other night, for the first time on Netflix. It's such a ridiculous movie.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's like, every cliche happens in the first 15 minutes. It's like... they're almost like, what's dancing? We don't know of this in this town. Don't even mention it here, right? It's like Voldemort. And then,
what state does that take place in?
I don't know.
Did you know what dancing was?
I bet it's Pennsylvania.
I don't think it's Pennsylvania.
It seemed pretty.
Somewhere in the middle.
Then this cop.
I bet it's Indiana.
Oh, actually,
it might
that
be.
Sounds right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This cop pulls over Kevin Bacon and Chris Penn. Having their music too loud, and by today's standards, it wasn't that loud.
Yeah.
It was like a 60, maybe. You know, like it's very. I thought it was very reasonable.
It was. Take that to court.
Yeah.
So he has to. He gets like a $200 ticket. And he's at the table with his family. He's like, they're like, you got into trouble again. And he's like, it wasn't me. And they're like,
I would flip out. Like, you're being so unreasonable right now. My favorite part is when he teaches his friend to dance, Chris Penn, to dance.
I never even got that far.
Oh, my God, he's so bad. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if they just didn't ask this guy if he could dance before they cast him in a movie about
dancing.
Was he
supposed to be bad?
No. I mean, he wasn't supposed to be good, but he was supposed to, like, be awkward, and then, you know, he was taught, Kevin Bacon taught him to be good. And so the end, he's supposed to be, like, killing it, and it's just... so bad.
Yeah.
I like Kevin Bacon. I always have, but he's not the cool out of towner that everybody's gonna fall in love with. You know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
If I saw Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, my friend had a thing for Kevin Bacon. She.
He's a little skinny.
She was at a store once when she was a kid, and she grabbed his ass. And he saw him, but she.
Claim to fame.
Yeah.
I sexually harassed Kevin Bacon. I was more of a Christian Slater girl. I felt like they were interchangeable, but I was Christian Slater better.
No, Christian Slater, I could see being the cool kid from
He's the cool
town.
Kid
yeah.
from out of town.
Yeah.
Pump Up the Volume.
Yeah,
yeah, I own that movie.
You too?
I own Pump Up the Volume.
He was like... He came out when I was like in my late... I don't know what the word is, like...
20s? 30s,
no.
40s?
No. Like 50s. When you're like...
Just name an age,
when
John.
When you're one from 10. Like, okay.
My 10s.
My late zeros to zeros. My early teen
elementary
years.
School.
Oh, yeah.
There's got to be a term.
Childhood?
Yeah. That's very broad. I want it to be specific to 1 through 10.
Pre-teen?
My first decade?
Pre-teen.
Oh, pre-teen.
Sure, there you go.
That still implies, like, the 11 to 13
yeah,
range.
10 to 13.
10 to 13 range.
That's where I was. That was
Oh, you
accurate.
Were pre-teen.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Pre-teen. Hey.
Nailed it.
I still think there should be one for the whole 10-year span. It is for every other one, but whatever. I'm not going to win this war today. So I was at the age where you kind of, like, start to realize, this person's cool, this person is not cool, you know? And I always thought Christian Slater was cool.
Yeah, he's cool.
Oh, yeah.
I think we can all agree that Christian Slater is cool, you guys.
He's on a new show on, like, USA.
He's on a lot of shows all the time that get canceled.
I feel bad, because I do like him, but I don't watch TV really anymore. Like, I'll watch stuff on Netflix, or every once in a while I'll catch something, but... Anything you can find online, if you're like HBO Go, you can watch Game of Thrones. Like,
yeah,
I don't. There used to be times when they're like, "Oh, the Friends finale's on." I can't be
I
here. Yeah,
gotta get home for the show.
That quickly changed with like DVRs and even just Comcast, like on demand and stuff.
I used to have to set the VCR to record. shows if I knew I wasn't going to be
home.
Oh,
yeah.
I would set the VCR to record.
Oh, God, I forgot about that. That's crazy.
I used to record wrestling all the time, but the VCR we had was weird. You had to have it off. You had to program it to turn it off, and then it would turn on at the time.
Yeah, it's very specific.
Right. But if you had it on, it wouldn't record. And I'm like, this is stupid. You should record it either way.
Yeah, VCRs.
F those things.
Yeah. I hope they never come back.
Yeah, fuck those things.
Did you guys hear fanny packs are coming back?
Yeah.
What the hell?
I'm not. I was never down.
I was never down, but I'm into it now. I see people with them, and I'm like, look how hands-free they are, and how close, like, they could easily just, you guys don't get it because you don't have to carry around a fucking purse. It's annoying. Like, a fanny pack.
So you would not use a purse and instead use a fanny pack?
Okay. I mean, I haven't made that transition yet, but I'm considering it.
What are the essentials? Because guys have a wallet, and just, I fit everything in my pocket. And this kid, I have a bag. That I got some stuff at 7-Eleven.
So you have a bag.
Only because I got stuff at 7-Eleven.
Oh, okay.
Nah. I'm not carrying like a messenger bag or anything. If I did have my laptop, I'd have that. But it's not like you can't put your laptop in your purse. You would need a. So I guess my question is, how much stuff do you actually need? Because you have two there.
Well, that's my comedy sports bag. That's my comedy bag.
Enough.
All right. So I got a wallet. I got a phone. I got an umbrella.
These are all things that
I got
are just
keys.
Like, you don't really need that umbrella. It's not gonna rain today.
Shut your face. You don't know. What are you, a fucking weatherman? I got about 18 lipsticks. All of them are necessary.
See, no, they're not. This is the problem with purses.
I got two packs of cigarettes. One of them's empty. I got two sketches I'm working on. I got 16 pens. A charger.
I'm standing by my theory that.
Yep.
Hold on.
Maybe a wallet.
No, you guys, this is getting good. I got a Tide stick.
Those are actually handy.
I got a bunch of tampons.
Ugh.
Got a little individually wrapped.
So my problem is, like, say I'm having like a sneezing fit, and I'm like,
dollar coin.
There's a girl with a giant ass bag. She must have some tissues. And she's like, oh, no tissues.
Right.
Like,
what else do you have? Oh, you got 16 pens.
Cough drops.
42 tampons.
Dollar coin. You guys have a fucking dollar coin?
Has there been a day when you've utilized everything in your purse for one reason or another?
Today. Just now.
It's not
does that count?
It's not
count it.
Yeah, like, it's pouring out. You get a big stain on your shirt.
Get my period.
You know that with that
toothpaste.
You know what that empty pack is valuable for is like if you're standing out front of a bar smoking.
Yes, and someone asks you for a cigarette,
last one. I noticed that was awesome the other day, and it was funny, but there was like in downtown there's like a lot of homeless people that are like ask or people with surveys or anything. Just
unsolicited.
I like how homeless people and people with surveys are on the same level for you.
I think I think that survey people are worse.
Way more annoying.
And so this guy was walking down the street. And this guy was asking him to take a survey. He's like, oh, I don't speak English. Should I keep walking? He said it in perfect English.
Amazing.
My friend used to do this stand-up bit about, like, some people, like, go out of their way to avoid them. They're like, just walk across the street or, like, do, like, a head fake, you know? Like,
I'm a sucker. That's why I don't like them. I've gotten roped into two different charities that way.
So you know that alley where IB is, but then
graffiti alley?
Yeah, I think so. Where the that Asian store is, like with multiple stores and Cam Man or something. I don't know what it's called.
Yeah.
Anyway,
right next to like Central Kitchen.
Yeah. So I was with Laura in Monotone the other day, and we were walking up that alley from the parking lot. We were gonna get some meat on Mass Ave, and this girl's like, "Hey, do you want a sticker?" She had like a little table, nice. And like, I been around this so much, I just say no to everything because I know that she's not just gonna hand us a sticker and tell us to go about our day. And Laura's like, "Yeah, okay." So, what she had was priority labels from UPS, from FedEx, the post office.
Okay.
So it has the post office logo on it. And it's just like it almost looks like a name tag.
Yeah.
You'd write like an address on it. So she's like, "I'm working on stenography."
Calligraphy.
She's like, "So what do you want me to write?" She's like, "I guess my name." And then I think usually with calligraphy you use like those special pens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
and she was just using markers.
So this is just a crazy person.
Yeah, this was a crazy person.
This is a crazy
person. Yeah, yeah. I think, yeah. and she didn't have a survey or anything either.
I'm so confused.
I was confused, too.
Don't you need, like, a permit to set up a table on the street? Like, Cambridge is
it's
pretty big.
It's in the alley where all the bums hang out. So.
I'm just saying, I think that I like to picture this woman going down to City Hall and getting a permit to write people's names in fake calligraphy on post office stickers.
And those things aren't... if you take, they have them out at the post office, but you're supposed to take them to use to write your address.
She just stole a bunch of post office stickers.
Yeah. Everything about it was probably illegal. Then she was looking for a tip. That's what the angle was, like, oh, thank you, but... So she put it on.
This is the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
It was.
Oh, are you making this up right now?
I was like... And it took forever. And, like, ugh. I was like, why did she agree to this? And then she put it on, and I'm like, this looks odd. Why are you wearing a name tag?
Post office name tag.
So then we got to, whatever that green smoothie place is.
Life Alive?
Yeah. She's like, I don't want to wear this anymore. I'm like, I don't blame you. I would never put it on in the first place.
It's a lifelong commitment at that point. You have to transfer it from shirt to shirt and always wear it.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So they were having, like, a little... polite conversation that I used the time to have a cigarette and roll my eyes at what was going on.
What are you doing? I'm having a cigarette and rolling my eyes. I'll be back.
Yeah, you just won Best Friend of the Year, I think.
Yeah.
Well, this is getting off track a lot. What about you, Chris? Do you have any outside projects or improv-related projects?
So, well, we both are in Oregon Fail.
Do you like how I only talked about a made-up project that I had and no actual project?
You got.
No, I like it. Let's leave it alone.
Yeah. So we're in, David Thomas came up with a show idea called Oregon Fail. It's a great show. They actually just had a show last Thursday, which I missed. But we've got an hour-long version of that show coming up the end of the month at...
Right.
That's at the Riot, yeah, Saturday
the
29th.
Nice.
The 29th. So that's a really fun show, really good, great improvisers. John Serpico's running, directing it, and yeah, it's a blast.
Is it going to be an actual hour? You know what I've been finding about Riot shows, is just getting an opening act for 10-15 minutes, and that brings in other people that might not come.
I think we're just saying screw them.
Yeah.
We're doing an hour.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
I don't know that we'll have an audience.
I think with Joe, you can go like an hour 15 and he doesn't care.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe Dave will bring in some stand-up or something.
Maybe.
No pressure.
Yeah.
What's the expression I was going for? Horse in this race, I guess. Something in this fight.
Yeah.
Boxer in this fight.
I think all of those work.
Chihuahua.
Yeah.
Chihuahua in the fight.
Oh, yeah. You have no chicken with its head. Nope, that's not it.
Ostrich.
Look out for the ostrich.
Oh, Jesus. Don't bring up ostriches.
Yeah.
Sorry.
What else do we have going on? So we're in comedy sports. Both in comedy sports. That's fun.
We're always together.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are.
We have tons of shows together. Yeah. The Oregon Fail, back to that, though. We got runs with that for the IB, so in January?
I think I might be on one of the shows, not Oregon Fail, but Comedy Lab, maybe?
Yeah, we have a Comedy Lab in the fall, and then I think we have two or three Saturday nights.
In January?
In January, where we're doing that show again for an hour, which would be really fun.
I got three shows picked up at IB, which is exciting, because the first time I submitted, Mike Cox told me just to submit as many shows as I wanted to try to get through. I got one called Reggie's Boombox. I'm big into all music, but I've always been into hip-hop, like 90s hip-hop.
Cool.
So there'll be this kid. It'll be improv and freestyle rap combined. So there'll be Kid Reggie. Like a 90s kid. We'll ask for 90s problems and situations.
What's a 90s problem?
Like, Full House.
Too much grunge.
Rerun is on.
Your mom keeps picking up the phone when you're on the AOL.
Yeah.
Disconnecting you from your chat room.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be the interesting thing. I'll figure out a better way to word it. But
No, I like it. Keep it.
So there'll be three beats. the first one, kind of the establishing one, and then he's like, I'm out of here. He picks up his boombox, and then I'll have two freestyle rappers. One is Mac, and one is an actual rapper with, like, 90s beat behind them, and they'll have to recap and push the story forward to the next scene, and then rinse and repeat, you know, three times. So, yeah, it should be fun. I got another one. Whatever Happened to Predictability? It's about the rise, fall, and rise again of the guy that sang all the TGIF theme songs.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that should be fun. That'll be my first really fully scripted thing that I've done. Cool. So I'm looking forward to that.
Cool.
And then I got a rhythm and laugh spot there as well.
Nice.
What are your... How do you guys feel about where you are right now in your improv careers? And,
yeah. We were just talking about the slump, actually.
I'm in a huge slump.
Huge slump.
You got a ton of stuff going on.
I know, it's too much. I'm sucking all over the place is what that means. It means I'm going from sucking one place to sucking another place.
That sounded really bad.
Yeah, what was the great note Kate gave me the other day that depressed me for like 4 hours?
Oh, about you're either playing a character that's in a relationship and that you don't want to be in, or the other person...
Or I'm in love with someone who doesn't love me back.
Yes, that's right.
And she's like, you know, Ashley, just try being just loved.
It's like a therapy session.
I know. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm the worst improviser and a terrible human being. I'm going to drink.
Whatever. You're easily the funniest person I know.
Aww.
Thank you. You're the funniest person I know, except for your wife.
Yeah, there you go. There it is.
Sorry,
that fiery redhead.
I'm going to catch a lot of hell.
Yeah, you are.
It's a compliment, in my opinion. If someone's like, hey, check out, there's a fiery redhead walking down the street, I wouldn't be like, oh, I want no part of that, buddy. You know?
But you wouldn't even question why they used the phrase fiery redhead. Is she screaming at someone as she walks down the street?
I think of Jean Grey from the X-Men.
Yeah, see?
Literally on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where were we?
Where do you feel like you're at? So yeah. I'm in a huge slump, sucking all over the place.
You are not.
Not loving.
You're doing
not being
great.
Loved. And Chris, how about you?
I don't know. You know, it's funny. I actually felt like I was in a slump. I think I was in a slump, actually.
But you're out of it now.
I feel like I'm climbing out of it. Because I feel after 601 I took with Bobby Smithney, I felt so good where I was at. You know, I was like, he really helped me kind of find the, I love character work. I love playing bizarre, wacky characters and really kind of taking annoyance style approach of just owning that shit and like letting the scene go as it goes. But then I don't know what happened at some point in particular in Cuddle Party shows, I started just playing just boring people that had real none of my characters were memorable, and it just seemed like it was a regular.
Do you think it could be because everybody's such strong personalities in Cuddle Party that somebody has to kind of take the straight man role?
I think he's being too hard on himself. I think that like his characters and the scenes were boring. He would just get so into his head about it afterwards that he would be like, "That was awful." Like it.
Yeah.
It wasn't actually bad. It was just in his head, not what he wanted it to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been going through that too. I think it goes up and down.
Yeah. But yeah, I think with you know, having Kate on board and she's got a different approach and.
She's so cool.
It's been a very nice breath of fresh air. Just, it's a new perspective. I mean, having new perspectives is always awesome. And, I found myself kind of feeling better about stuff and the characters that I play.
That explains why she was at Bait on Sunday.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, a main stage dresser just came to check out by herself.
I don't think she realized she would be sitting there for like 3 hours.
It's long. It goes a lot faster after the first round of long
form.
That
first round is, woo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel bad for people that are bringing friends that
don't
are
know
just coming to support.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Jesus, this is like, we're like an hour and a half in, and all the teams haven't even gone once yet.
Yeah.
We were trying to keep the chit-chat down to a minimum and everything, too, like in between scenes, but, you know, you gotta
get everyone up there, it is what it is, yeah.
You can't just be like, thanks, and this is... blah, blah, blah. You got to, like, kind of
yeah. give them something. Yeah, it's like doing the... I've been doing the comedy lottery at IB the last few weeks, and it's... I can't get over how, you know, they have so many... It's such a popular show, and so they have so many people sign up. And so you have literally a type three, and it's like, all right, here are the next three people that will be coming to the stage, and they list off the names. And then one person gets done, and before they're even sitting down, they're listing off the next person that's running up to the stage to grab the mic and try to get their 3 minutes in. And like, you know, it's just this mechanical thing. It's great. I mean, it's, you know, it's an awesome open mic, but it's very, like, one, two, three.
Stand up and down.
So today I had my, it was a second class, but it was my first one there, 301 at IB. They were teaching sweeping and tag outs and stuff.
Cool.
And, like, it just was very awkward because it's, like, if you're just learning it, like, somebody runs across and then somebody still just continues to do the scene. Yeah. Like, who is that guy that just ran across?
I like doing that anyway. just pretend you didn't see a sweep and just continue to stand there.
I had a show with Eaglecomb once, and I did a tag out, and then I started to speak, and the guy just tagged me right back in. I'm like, all right, I guess you're not done.
Yeah.
Excuse me, sir. I was not done with this scene. Your idea is invalid.
I remember when we were first learning sweeps, I don't know who was in the class, and I won't say the name, but like, it wasn't you.
This is the podcast
to
start
beefs
on. No, but it was funny because when they, you know, you're just learning, and they'd like run across the scene like a gazelle. Like it was like this big sweeping, like, I'm cutting the scene.
I'm here.
Yes, like, whoa.
Creative sweeps are good. Like,
hilarious.
I did a two on, I hosted a 2-on-2 tournament last fall, and Christina Staplefeld and Hugh Guinea, I hope I'm pronouncing these names correctly.
Yeah, you
they were karate
it.
Party, or karate something.
Oh, yeah.
Not karate party, I just
thought
a cool party.
That's not the thing you're
in. No.
Karate yacht, I think it was.
Yeah. So we stole it from them, apparently.
Oh, okay.
When they would sweep, they'd just do karate moves, and I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
On that note.
Well, I mean, it is fun to have something other than just walking across the stage or, you know, first line, last line, or whatever. Last line, first line.
Some sweeps feel so forced. Like, no matter how good you are at them, they always feel forced if you try to do, like, one of the more advanced sweeps. Like, the one where you pick up the object and then start the story where the object came from and people go back and forth. I don't think I've ever seen that done in such a way where you're like, oh, that was just transformative. I feel like I'm in the pasture with that cow now. And, oh, no, now we're back in the city with the guy who owns the cow. Oh, that's where this is going to go. We're going to see a scene with the guy who's friends with that guy.
I've never been watching an improv show with standard sweeps, be like, these guys are going to step up their game. Sweep game. This is not working.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of just starting, you know, you start a new scene by just coming on stage. And
starting a new scene.
And clearly, you're clearly not in that scene, and you have a personality and character that does not belong with those. And so it's like very clear to the other people.
I did, I was in a group with Christina Moreno for a while. She was really good about just walking and talking, like, as a sweep. Mm-hmm. And that I like because it
like
makes
that.
It seem seamless, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
But if you know, if you're working with people that aren't familiar with that, you're like, who's this person walking
at me? That's the best is the face that you get from people who are like, do you want me to leave?
Right.
Do you want me to stay? Do you want me to leave?
Should
do you want me to stay?
Should I get up?
Should I go?
Should I go?
Am I in the scene now? I've been standing here so long now that I should just be another character. I'm in this scene now.
Stay.
I'm the guard.
Today we also talked about, which I know I've done and I've seen done a lot, is like somebody, you know, when you're coming off a scene, like you'll have one too many people for what you're we're going for, so you'll have that just supportive friend, like, don't put up with that.
Or they're you turn into parents. Or like,
your father was telling me, like,
and you don't realize they're there right away. Like, look, I'm really disappointed in you. Me and your father are really disappointed.
Those are the scenes I always find, like, one person misses, like, that father reference to, and then it's like, so you, so maybe identified as a father is like, Billy, you want to go to the game? It's like, oh, you're calling me Billy now, huh, son?
It's
so awkward.
I remember the last IB auditions. we were doing the montage part, and I had like two scenes, and I was so pissed that it happened. I had two scenes where I came out, and there was a person that was right in front of me came out, and then of course there was someone on the other side. So like I was that odd third person.
They didn't see you. The guy standing in front of you didn't see you both times. Yeah.
They didn't see me, and so both times, the first time I was just like, "Fuck it, I'm gonna be a hype man," and so I just like hyped up whatever they said. And then the second time that it happened, I was like, this is stupid, but I'm going to call back the hype.
Yeah.
Hey, I've done that before. One of the first times I auditioned for Improv Asylum House teams, I was super nervous, and I knew I hadn't got enough good material in my opinion, to get cast. So I'm like, I got to get out there in this montage. So, like, two people went out and started a scene, and I came out at the same time, but it was clearly a one-on-one scene, and I just froze up, and I stood over in the corner, and then this other dude, Dave Leone, was really funny. He just came out and stood beside me. Nice. We didn't do anything.
That's awesome.
And everybody was laughing, and I'm like, this by no means was my intention, but I'll take it.
Yeah.
All right, so you guys got anything in the media future you want to plug? This will probably come up tomorrow, Sunday the 16th.
Okay. We are...
We're at the Riot this week.
Is that this week already?
Yeah. Cuddle party will be at Indie Night this Thursday.
Nice.
At the Riot.
At the Riot.
And then I have a fucking weekend off.
What?
I have no shows this weekend!
Nice.
Sorry, that is not a plug. Actually, I'm free this weekend if anyone would like to hang out.
Yeah, we've got comedy sports. I got comedy sports. I'm ref on Friday. On Friday the 21st at the Riot.
Oh, you're reffing that one.
Yeah.
I like I've only seen comedy sports a couple times, but I like the fact that the host ref has his own thing going on.
Personality.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not just, you know, somebody just moving from scene to scene or anything.
Right. Yeah,
they definitely got their own thing. It's fun.
Yeah, it is. And then what else? Oh, the bait finals on the 27th.
I'm in a sketch group, Baby Cut, that has a bunch of shows coming out.
Yeah?
I don't remember any of the dates. Oh, no, we're in Sketch House on the 27th. And then the same night as the bait finals. So figuring it out.
Nice. So many shows going on. Like,
yeah.
It's tough to make them all. Cool. So we have, as far as I go, we have bait coming up the next two Sundays. What's tomorrow? The 16th and then the 23rd. Doing the math in my head.
Yes.
And then the finals on Thursday, the 27th. We have the all star cast of judges. You'll see the four teams that came in first and two teams that came in second that'll get a wild card spot randomly drawn. So no shenanigans there.
Rigged.
I got we have Maggie's Lounge the second Wednesday of every month at Quincy. It's a stand up and improv show. I got On Point Improv. There's two coming up in September, but generally there's one a month. But the dates are just random. What else? Rhythm and Laughs. I got at the Riot the third. Saturday of every month. That's my favorite show to be part of. It's live acoustic music by a different really talented singer-songwriter each month with stand-up as an opener and improv in between each song. It's a really fun show. I think that's it. All right. Thanks, guys, for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you. And thank you for listening. Bye.